Morning. Today's daf Nerchin is daf Yud. We are in the very bottom of Tesamid Beis. Wrapping up from yesterday's Gemara, we are in the second paragraph of Erchin, which effectively means that we're not talking much about Erchin. The second paragraph of Erchin talks about ranges, various ranges in the Torah, in Halacha, where there is a minimum and a maximum number. It did start with Erchin. The beginning of the second paragraph talked about the amount, the range of a person is obligated to pay. If he makes an Erchin pledge, it's going to be anywhere between 1 to 50 slime. And then after that, the Mishnah then moved on to other areas in Halacha where we talked about other ranges. The Mishnah on Dav Ches Amud Aleph talked about the range a woman has in terms of how many days she's going to have to go with no discharge whatsoever in order for her to resume her Pesach, the beginning of her Nidah cycle. Mishnah on Ches Amud Beis talked about the range of how many weeks a person or a house is going to be confined, anywhere between 1 to 3 weeks. Another Mishnah on Ches Amud Beis talks about the range of how many months can you fluctuate from an average year. An average year is going to have 6 months being a chaser, 6 months being a male, in order to get to the 354 days. That's the desired number of days in a lunar year. But there is obviously going to be a need of fluctuation. How much can be fluctuated? So that is the range anywhere between 4 and 8, which I'm going to come back to in just a moment. The Mishnah also talks about the range between the baking of the shtei lechem, the consumption of the shtei lechem, 2 to 3 days, the baking of the lechem upon him and the consumption of the lechem upon him, 9 to 11 days, and the bris milah of a baby whose bris is supposed to be on the 8th day, and it can go anywhere between 8 to 12 days. Even if we're going to shoot for the 8th day, it could still be somewhere between 8 to 12 days. That last one's a real riddle. All right, you're going to do the bris on the 8th day, and sometimes it can come out to be the 12th day. Now, obviously, as I pointed out yesterday, the bris milah can be done anytime after 8 days of age, but the Mishnah is giving us the range of you're shooting for 8, and meanwhile, it could be anywhere between 8 to 12. Okay, the Gemara yesterday spent all of its time talking about the months and the range of how many months can go chaser, how many months can go male. So yesterday we spent obviously the entirety of the day talking about the lunar calendar and the adjustments that are needed and why are the adjustments needed. So I'm not going to go over it again, but please, I strongly recommend review yesterday's daf. It's really good and it's really just basic in terms of understanding the lunar calendar. Just to finish up yesterday's daf. So we had a machlokas between Rav Huna and Ula in terms of where can we go in terms of fluctuation. So the way Rav Huna understands that you can fluctuate plus or minus 2, which means that an average month, an average year is going to have 6 months male, 6 months chaser. As we discussed yesterday, that gets me to 354 days on a non-leap year. And then what he's of the opinion is that you can go plus or minus 2 months, which means to say that you can have a year of 352 days and a year of 356 days. If I added instead of 6 months being male, I said 6 months are, I'm sorry, 8 months are going to be male. So now that is minus 2, and your year is going to be 352. If, on the other hand, we did 8 months which are male, so that's going to be 356. And he allows for both. In both directions. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Ula, on the other hand, says no. In terms of going minus 2, that's acceptable. But on the plus side, you can only go plus 1. So that means to say that according to Ula, you can have 8 months being chaser. You can have 7 months being chaser. Of course, you can have the balance 6 and 6. You can have 7 months being male, but that's it. You cannot have, according to Ula, 8 months being male. And again, go back to yesterday's Gemara for a lengthy discussion in terms of what exactly are behind each of these shitas. We're just gonna finish up from yesterday's daf. The Gemara now notes that there are other Tanaim who also took positions on this matter. The Av Shmuel, this is where we left off yesterday in Testament Base. The Av Shmuel Savalek Rav Huna. Shmuel also accords with the opinion of Rav Huna. The Amr Shmuel. By the way, Shmuel takes a lot of interest in the lunar calendar. Consider that not only was he an Amora, Talmid Chacham par excellence, he was also a physician, he was also an astronomer. Right? Shmuel obviously took a lot of interest in the lunar calendar. Shmuel subscribes to the opinion of Rav Huna that you can go plus or minus 2 months. How do I know that? Because Amr Shmuel, Ancient Nas, Levana, Pechusa, Mishal, Shmeos, Vechamesh, v'shtayim yom v'lo yiseh roshosh me'ez v'chamishim v'shisha yom. So how do we know it? Because he says it. It's really, of the things that are obvious, this is obviously just right, black and white. He says, the range of a lunar year could be anywhere between 352 and 356. Ha-ketzad, so shneim aleim, shisha, shneim chasem, shneihem chasem, shneihem, echem alev echad chaser, arba'a. Okay. So Meisve, the Gemara going to challenge from the following brisa: Harini Nazir Kimosa Chama. So let's say a person declares himself to be a Nazir, and in doing so, being a Nazir, so he's going to be abstaining from wine. He's not going to come into contact with the mace. Wine, mace, and that is Tumah.
Haircut.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry. It's so funny. Just last night we went over various aspects of Shimshon in my house. Anyway, so the it's wonderful. So anyway, Harei Nazir Kimos Achama. So a person says he's going to be a Nazir for the number of days of the solar year. Someone in Nazir is Gimel Meos V'Shishim V'Chamisha Yom Kimin Yemos Achama. So that means now that based on his acceptance and based on his language, he's now going to be a Nazir for 365 days. Kimos Halavana. If he says he's going to be a Nazir for the amount of days in a lunar year, so Mona Nazir is Gimel Meos V'Chamishim V'Arba'a Yamim. Kiminyan Yemos Halavana. So there, it's going to be 354 days. And it is a funny kasha, and the Gemara immediately is going to answer it because this is Nazirus, which is a function of Neder, and by Neder you follow Lashon B'nei Adam, and that's basically what the Gemara is going to say. But the Gemara is still going to ask the question. V'imisa zimnun d'mishkachla shisha. So the Gemara says now, it could very well be that it's not 354, it could be sometimes 356, as we have just articulated. So the Gemara says, B'nedarim halacha chaloshim b'nei Adam. So this is a Nazir, which is a function of Nedarim, which means that you follow what people generally say. In other words, right, on the street, somebody asked me, a lunar year, how many days does a lunar year have? So I'd say 354. And then would I go through all the details? It depends if he's interested. Would I go through all the details of, you know, sometimes it could be 352, sometimes it could be 356. Do you know that yesterday in an Erchin and Daf Tes, so there was an occasion once where they had nine chaser. There was 9 months that were the chaser. And Rabbi Huda Nasi turned to his son and said, could you explain this to me? And he did. Okay, good. That's a lot of information. But people generally say a lunar year 354, and by Nedarim Hochen Acher Lashem B'nei Adam. Verov Shanim. And what it represents on a quote-unquote normal lunar year. Vaf Rabbi Savala Karav Huna, Ditanya. So the Gemara says, now Rabbi himself also subscribes to Rav Huna's position that in a given year, a fluctuation of number of months that are going to be Malei Chaser could be plus or minus two. Ditanya Maisa Va'asa Rebbe Tisha Chaserim. V'nira Chodesh Bezmano. What happened 1 year is that Rebbe made the year nine Chaser months, and what happened was the Molad came out right on Rosh Hashanah. As expected. Now, as we discussed extensively in yesterday's daf, that's near impossibility. Meaning, if now he's making a year of 351 days, so remember, Molad from one Rosh Hashanah to the next Rosh Hashanah is 354. As we learned in yesterday's daf, it's 354 and change. 8 hours and 876 chalakim. But in other words, but if you're going 351, so you are really short of the Molad. How did that happen? V'haya Rebbe Tamiya v'omer asinu tisha chasim v'nir chodesh bezmano. And Rebbe himself was incredulous. How did that just happen? Right? I mean, it's a little bit strange, by the way. If Rebbe's the one who's doing the is making the months, how is he so curious? Maybe this is just simply a test. In any event, however, Rebbe's like, how did that happen? 351 day year, and now the Rosh Hashanah comes out right in the Molad. So I'm the founder of Rebbe Shimon, but Rebbe Shema Shana Mubar Saisa, the Ibor Shana Lamid. Ishtaked asinu shnei malayim. So dal talsa lebahadi talsa v'kamle beduchte. So his son says to Rebbe, I can easily come up with a scenario in which it worked out fine. Why? So we could say like this: last year we went plus two, right? Which again, right? That's the whole point of the Gemara, that Rebbe does in fact subscribe to Rav Huna, and also Shmuel's of this opinion as well, that you can add two additional months being a malay. So last year we went 356. Last year also was an Iber Yar, it was an extra month. And during that Ibur Yar, we added a 30-day month. So now we have really three bumps from last year, three increments from last year. So now this year, as we're taking three away, so good, balance. And that's how it became that Rosh Hashanah falls out right on the Molad. So Asinu Shnei Malayim Dal Tasla Bahadei Tasla V'Kam Le'Beduchte. And so what we have now is a balance where Rosh Hashanah falls out right on the Molad. So Amalei Ne'Yisrael Kein Hava. And so Rebbe turns to his son, Rebbe Shimon Berebbe, and he says, Ne'Yisrael, you are a light unto the Jewish people. That is exactly correct. Certainly from the response, it sounds like this was just simply a test, meaning Rebbe wanted to know from his son, do you understand how it is that last year we made nine chasim months and the molad ended up right on Rosh Hashanah? Okay. Anyway, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya and new topic. New topic, because that is the second parak of Erechim. We're just going to go over various ranges. We're talking now about the blowing of the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. On a daily basis, there'd be blowing of a shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says in Parshas Baloscha, last week's Parsha, that we are blowing on shofars. Now, sometimes it's shofar, sometimes it's chatzotzros, and it's not exactly the same, but nevertheless, there is tkiyas that are performed during the blowing of the shofar. What's the range going to be? That's the Mishnah. In Pochasin, may esrim va'achas tkiyas b'mikdash v'lo mosifin al arba'im v'shmona. Range is going to be anywhere from 21 to 48. That's the number, minimum and maximum number of tkiyas that are going to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we do not get any more information in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has now basically gave us a range, and the Mishnah is basically saying to us, and now you figure out the rest. Now, how are we supposed to figure out the rest? How do we know the range? So, it's based on other Gemaras. Gemara in Sukkah goes over this in detail. If you take a look at Rashi, on the side, Rashi just simply directs us to the fifth parak of Sukkah. If I could just go over it succinctly, right? I took notes. So, the... So for the opening of the gates in the morning of the Azara, so that you do a Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah. For the Tamashal Shachar, you also do a Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah. We're counting Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah as three. You'll see in just a moment, not everybody counts that way, but we're counting it as three. So three for the opening of the gates, three for the Tamashal Shachar, three for the Tamashal Bein Harabayim. That's 9 times 3, that's 21. That's a quote-unquote regular day, that's an uneventful day in the Beis HaMikdash. On top of that, how can I get to another 27, bring me to 48? So it would be basically Chol HaMoed Sukkos on Erev Shabbos. So because of the confluence of events that day, so that is going to bring another 27. Nisach HaMayim requires 12 tkiyos, right? The Musaf, another 9. Getting people to stop doing malacha on Erev Shabbos, that's three. And the oncoming of Shabbos, the Hafsaka Bein Kodesh Lachol, that's another three. If you've been keeping score, that's another 27. Added to the standard 21, that brings you to 48. Ein pochas mishnei nevalim, v'lo mosifan al shisha. Now, in terms of the navel, it's an instrument. I'm still not sure what it is. And even if you tell me it's a lyre, that's very nice. I don't know what that is. I'm really sorry for my lack of musical knowledge. But anyway, no less than two, no more than six of these nevalim. Why would that be? So Rashi admits over here he does not know. He is not given a pshat in terms of why that is. In terms of the chalilim, so that's a flute. The word chalil comes from the word halal, which means hollow. And so good. That little I know. So it's a type of flute. So no less than two and no more than 12. Now the 12 over here, you can basically read it into the Mishnah. The reason why you want 12 chalilim, at least as a maximum, is because there are 12 days in the year in which the chalil is going to be played. So when I'm shechting Karban Pesach, there are two times in the year we're going to be shechting Karban Pesach. We know it better as Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. Pesach Rishon is the 14th day of Nisan, Pesach Sheni the 14th day of Iyar. Right, your second chance opportunity for those people who legitimately missed the first chance. V'yamtom Rishon Shal Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, V'yamtom Shal Atzeres, first day of Shavuos. When I say first day of Shavuos, it's really the only day of Shavuos. Right, we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, they are observing one day of Shavuos. U'v'shmona Yemei HaChag, for the 8 days of Sukkos. Okay. Now, this roll call that we just went through in the Mishnah, so it should sound familiar because this is basically the days in which we say Hallel. Okay? Now, obviously, we say Hallel additional days to that, but all that is going to be explained in today's Gemara. Today's Gemara is the day in which we discuss Hallel. So the 12 days in which we are playing the flute in the Beis HaMikdash, because they are exceptional days. We'll talk more about it in the Gemara. V'lo yamaka ba'avuv shel nechoshes ela ba'avuv shel kaneh, mimnei shekolo arev. Now, should we get a copper flute or should we get a reed flute? So in terms of what's nicer, from an aesthetic standpoint, so copper would be nicer. However, the Mishnah says, but don't get copper, because over here, the preferred sound is better than the aesthetics and how it looks. So therefore, take a reed flute, kolo arev. Its voice is sweeter. It produces a better sound. V'lo yamechalek ela ba'avuv yechidi. Now, in terms of the crescendo and the way it finishes, the song finishes, you finish with one flute. Mimishuhu machlik yafeh. Just sounds nicer. Now, who's the band? Who's the choir? Abde Kohanim ayu divrei Rebbe Meir. So according to Rebbe Meir, they are the servants of Kohanim, Rebbe Yossi, Amar Mishpachas, Beis Pigarim, Ubeis Tzipri, Me'amma'um, Hayu Masim L'Kuhuna. According to Rebbe Yossi, they are two families, the family of Pigarim, the family of Tzipri. Amma'um is the name of the place where they're from. They are not families of Kohanim. They are Mishpachos Chashuvim. They're just simply significant. They're important families. These are the families that the Kohanim ended up marrying into. Rabbi Chanin ben Atignus, Amar Levim Hayu, and according to Rabbi Chanin ben Atignus, the band is made up of Levim. Tomorrow we're going to be speaking extensively about the Levim and their role as the choir in the Beis HaMikdash, so that is going to be tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, however, we are going to go back to our Mishnah, and we are going to be covering the beginning of the Mishnah vis-a-vis the number of tzkiyos that are done in the Beis HaMikdash. On a standard day, 21, and the maximum that can be done is 48. Masisin de loka Rabbi Yehuda de Tanya. Now, our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara quotes a brace. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hapochis lo yifchos misheva va'amosif lo yosif al sheish esrei. We're going to go with a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 16. Now, if you're figuring this out, you realize that 7 and 16 is basically the same as 21 and 48. It's just that it's a third less. Right? 21 divided by 3 is 7. 48 divided by 3 is 16. So really what Rabbi Yehuda is doing is giving us the same ratio, the same proportion. He's just not calling it 21:48. He's calling it 7:16. So the Gemara says, now what is at issue over here? Rabbi Yehuda suffered kitru tkiya chadihi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when you do tarat, tkiya tru tkiya, so that's considered chad. It's considered one. Now I say one what? So it's not perfectly clear. Certainly it's one sound and you count it as one. Could very well be, and you'll see the language of the Gemara would indicate this as well, could be that it's one mitzvah. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, doing just a tkiah by itself is a chatzi mitzvah. It's like not a full mitzvah. Okay, so that's how he views it. So that means to say then, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then you're going to be doing tkiah tru or tkiah for the opening of the gate, that's called one. Then you're going to be doing, again, tkiah tru or tkiah for the tamisha shachar, that's two. And then you're going to be doing tkiya tru tkiya for the tamid bein arba'im, so that's three. Okay, so that's how it comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda. The rabbanan sarve tkiya lachud v'tru lachud tkiya lachud, and the chachamim say no, tkiya tru tkiya is going to be done individually. My time, in other words, they're counted individually; they're counted separately. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda ksiv tkatem trua utkiv trua yitkeu. Going back to last week's Parsha, the Gemara quotes the Psukim from Parsha's Balozcha. It says, Utikatim Trua, which means that the Trua is attached to the Tkiah in front of it. It also says, Trua Yitka'u, which means that the Trua also has an attachment to it of a Tkiah afterwards. Shmaminat Tkiah, Trua Tkiah, Chadehi. So you see, based on the Pasuk, that the construct of a Trua is that it has part and parcel of it, a Tkiah in front and a Tkiah afterwards. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, no. It's not telling us what is the formula of a Trua. It's telling us that when you blow Trua, which in of itself is an independent blast, you're going to also be blowing a Tkiah in front of it, and a Tkiah afterwards as well. But that doesn't mean that it's unified one. It simply means that That is the format of how you blow. Tkia, trua, followed then by tkia. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, so once again, you go back to last week's Parsha, and various blasting of the shofar is going to indicate different things. So, for example, the Torah says that when you want to gather all the nation together, titzku'u v'lo tariyah, so you blow tkiyah, but you do not blow trua. Now, the question the Chachamim posed to Rabbi Yehuda is the following. Isa gadach v'tkiyah trua tkiyah chadihi, am rachman avid pagad the mitzvah. So if you think, Rabbi Yehuda, that tkiyah trua tkiyah is one mitzvah, so and to gather all the people, you're just going to be blowing tkiyah, do you think that the Torah is asking the blowers of the shofar to do a half mitzvah? Meaning that's not a unit, according to you. It's a chatzi mitzvah, palga de mitzvah. And that can't be. Rabbi Yehuda's counter-argument is very simple. Rabbi Yehuda simana ba'amahu. Rabbi Yehuda will say, well, that's not a mitzvah. Gathering the people together obviously is important, but that's not a mitzvah. The blowing of tekiah by itself over there, simana ba'ama. It's just a way to get people together. But you're not doing a formal mitzvah in blowing under those circumstances, so he's not bothered by the fact that this is chatzi mitzvah, this is not a mitzvah. Keman az lahan da'amar Rav Kahana ein ben tekiah l'trua v'lo klum. Now there is an opinion of Rav Kahana that says that when you're blowing tekiah trua, so there should be no interruption whatsoever between the tekiah and the trua. So in other words, it should be a seamless tekiah trua right to tekiah. I assume everyone knows this, but I'm just thinking right now that I did not articulate this and make this clear. The tekiah is a long blast, and the trua is a broken blast. Okay. And the tekiah trua tekiah means that you're going to be blowing a long blast, followed then by a broken blast, followed then by a long blast. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses at the end of the Masechta exactly what this broken blast is going to sound like. The Gemara there has three opinions on what the broken sound is going to sound like. So what we do on Rosh Hashanah is we go through all three permutations. Meaning on Rosh Hashanah, we know that min haTorah you blow 9 times. Tekiah trua tekiah, followed then by tekiah trua tekiah, followed then by tekiah trua tekiah. That's the mitzvah midarais on Rosh Hashanah. We don't know what that broken sound sounds like exactly. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, so what we're going to do is we're going to do tekiah shivarim tekiah, and then we're going to do that 2 more times. Shvarim is where it's 3 blasts in the center. We're going to go tekiah trua tekiah, and that is, the trua is 9 short blasts, really staccato, and we're going to do that another 2 more times. And then we're going to do tekiah shvarim trua tekiah, and then we're going to do that another 2 times because we're not exactly sure how that broken sound sounds like. Keman, and by the way, that for Rosh Hashanah, I'm not going to spend time with this today, but that for Rosh Hashanah brings us to a total of 30 blasts, meaning I'm counting like the Chachamim. Each blast is counted by itself. And when we do Tekiah, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiah, that's counted like 4. 4 times 3 is 12. So it's 9 plus 9 plus 12, that's 30. So that gives me the 30 blasts. Minag Yisrael is that on Rosh Hashanah we're going to blow another 70 times. Okay, and again, not for now, but just to know how we got there in Rosh Hashanah. Rav Kahana is of the opinion that, going back to the Gemara, that the time between Tekiah and Trua is no pause whatsoever, right? V'lo klum. Come on, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, so if I'm going to align the opinion of Rav Kahana, who's an Amara, so I'll put him together with Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, isn't that obvious? And that's the Gemara's next point, Pshita. Yeah, that's of course what we would have done. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe Rav Kahana really is in alignment with the opinion of the Chachamim as well. Now, the Chachamim do count them separately, but what the Gemara is entertaining is that even though the Chachamim count it separately, but he still wants them coordinated and blown basically together. And maybe over here is just to preclude ourselves from the position of Rabbi Yonasan, from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that here's what you can do on Rosh Hashanah. Now, as I already articulated, on Rosh Hashanah, you mitzvah min haTorah to blow 9 times. So let's say on Rosh Hashanah, I blew a tekiah in the morning, waited an hour, then blew the trua. Wait an hour, and then blew the tekiah. Okay. Maybe the person had exceptional kavanas as he was blowing. So anyway, so according to Rav Yochanan and Yatzah, you have fulfilled your obligation. Now, of course, by the way, you have to also take into account the suffix. We don't exactly know what the broken sound sounds like, but Rav Yochanan just simply wants to make the point that there could be a significant delay between the blowing of one blast and the blowing of another blast, and that's fine. Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, and maybe what Rav Kahana is trying to teach us is that I don't necessarily go like Rav Yehuda. I could, in fact, be going like the Chachamim. I just simply want to distance myself from the opinion of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Vema Hachinam. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that's right. Maybe that's absolutely correct. So Imke Mai Velo Klum. The Gemara says, no. If what Rav Kahana wanted to do is distance himself from Rav Yochanan, he should just simply say, they got to be close together. He doesn't say that. He says, do you know how much time should exist between one blast and another? Zero. There should be no time between them. They should be contiguous. You should go from Tkia, Trua, right to Tkia in one fell swoop. And so it's not that he's just distancing himself from Rav Yochanan. It's that he fully subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. I'll skip it for now. If time allows at the end, I'll get to it. But okay. Where do we stand right now? So we have now covered the first part of the Mishnah. The number of blasts that you blow in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis can range anywhere from 21 all the way to 48. Okay, and we explained the differentiation between the opinion of the Chachamim, which obviously our Mishnah represents, versus the opinion of Rav Yehuda, which is quoted in the Braisa. Rav Yehuda has the range of going from 7 to 16. It's the same. It's just a question of how to count the blowing of the shofar. We're now moving on to the flute. The Gemara skips the navel of our Mishnah, which accounts for the fact that Rashi in the Mishnah says, I don't know what the significance is between 2 to 6, and Rashi was not supported by the Gemara, meaning the Gemara doesn't discuss it. And obviously Rashi had other source material as well, but Rashi just simply does not know. And if Rashi does not know, it means I don't know as well. Now the Gemara says, now flutes are added 12 days in the year in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? These are the days in which we're also going to be saying halal and gomer es halal. We're going to be completing the halal. There are going to be 18 days in the year in which an individual is going to be finishing the halal. Shmona yimei hachag, it's going to be the 8 days of Sukkot, or shmona yimei Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah, Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, first day of Pesach, v'yom tov shal atzeres, and Shavuos, which is one day, v'gola, and in Chutz Aretz, esrim ve'echad. It jumps up to the number 21, because in Chutz Aretz, so we have Yom Tov Sheni. So therefore, Tisha Yimei Chag, it comes out to 9 days of Sukkot, Shmona Yimei Chanukah, still 8 days of Chanukah, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach, and Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Atzeres, and the 2 days of Shavuos. Now, to make the jump from 12 to 18, so it's a little bit tricky, but if you think about it, it works out. Because consider, the Mishnah gives us the number 12. We're playing the flute in the Beis HaMikdash 12 days because they correspond to the hallowed days. And meanwhile, the Braisa we just learned together, quoted in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yosef, says it comes out to 18. Well, how do we go from 12 to 18? Well, take the following into consideration. The Mishnah is giving us the times that we're playing the flute in conjunction with Karbanos. You're not bringing Karban for Chanukah. Chanukah is a din derabanan. And so there is no musafim, there are no additional karbanos that come with Chanukah. And so therefore, Chanukah, from the Mishnah standpoint, is simply not recorded because not applicable. You just simply don't have a special karban because it's Chanukah. So that gets us from, that brings us from 18 down to 10. So how come the Mishnah had 12? Because also take into consideration, the Mishnah was talking about the 2 days in which the Karban Pesach is brought. 2 days in which the Karban Pesach is brought is going to be another 2 more days. That's the 14th day of Nisan and the 14th day of Iyar. So that's how you made the jump. That's the transition going from the Rav Yochanan statement of 18 days versus the Mishnah statement of 12 days. You take out Chanukah and you add the 2 days in which you bring Karban Pesach. Okay. In the meantime, however, so now we're learning together there are going to be 18 days in the year, 21 here in the diaspora, in which we're going to be saying halal. And so it only begs the question, why do we say halal specifically on these days? And why not other days of the year? So all that is going to be explored in the upcoming Gemara. This is, I can honestly say, the famous Gemara of Erchin, but now we're learning Erchin, the famous Gemara of Erchin that describes in details exactly what is going to be the impetus of saying Hala. Before we continue on the Gemara, so I'll tell you what is not going to be discussed in the Gemara, and that's going to be, the days in which we say Chatzi Hala. Now, Chatzi Hala literally translates as half Hala. It does not mean half Hala. It means that we skip two paragraphs of Hala. That's the Chatzi Hala from a percentage standpoint. It's significantly more, than half. But these are minhagim. These are customs in which we say the Chatzi Hala. So we say the Chatzi Hala on Rosh Chodesh, right? We say the Chatzi Hala on the remaining days of Pesach, and there are other possible days in which we say some form of Hala, but they're not going to be recorded in the Braisa because the Braisa is talking about days in which we're Gomer. It's a Hala, we finish the Hala. Maishna bechag de amrinan kol yuma, maishna bepesach de lo amrinan kol yuma. The obvious question. On Sukkot we say the Hala all 8 days of Sukkot. I'm gonna stick with Eretz Yisrael and keep the numbers simple. So we say Hala on all 8 days of Sukkot, and meanwhile, when you get to Pesach, it's only the first day. So the Gemara's explanation goes like this, as we now are on the top of Yud Amud Beis. Kol yuma dechag chalukim bekarbon oseihem. The Pesach ain chalukim bekarbon oseihem. So the Gemara says, because every day of Sukkot, it's a new carbon construct. The carbonos that we bring on one day of, did I say Pesach? If I did, it's a mistake. The 8 days of Sukkot, each day is going to represent a different number of carbonos. On the first day of Sukkot, you bring 13 parim, 13 oxen. And then, from that day going forward, it's going to be the next day is 12, the next day is 11, the next day is 10, and it keeps descending until you get to the last day of Sukkot, which is going to be 7, and then Simchas Torah, it's going to only be 1. See the Gemara in Sukkot for a bit more of an explanation in terms of why, but right now, the what. Meaning, Sukkot, you have different numbers of carbonos that are brought each and every day, giving more of an independence to each day, thereby requiring that Hala be said on each day of Sukkot. Masha'in kein on Pesach, that's not the case. On Pesach, it is going to be the same set of carbonos brought every single day. You probably heard in Shul and Leining on Pesach, Ka'ela, right? Every single day, it's going to be the same. And so therefore, as a result of that, so Pesach, the subsequent days of Pesach are, from a carbon standpoint, repeat performances. And so therefore does not engender a requirement to say an additional Hala on the subsequent days. Shabbos HaChalukah B'Karbon HaSehalema. The Gemara says, okay, what about Shabbos? You know, Shabbos, the carbonos that are burned on Shabbos are going to be different than during the week. And if it's just simply going to be a change of pattern of carbonos, so why don't we say Hala on Shabbos? So Ikrei Moed. So the Gemara gives us now a second guideline or requirement, I should say better, in terms of what brings about the obligation of Hala. It has to be a moed. Shabbos is not considered a moed. The moadim are the calendaric festivals, right? In other words, you can literally pin them on the calendar. Shabbos, although you'll find on the calendar, but Shabbos comes every seventh day. I'm reporting it here. So lo ikre moed. Rosh Chodesh to ikre moed lema. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we say halal on Rosh Chodesh? Now, the question may sound confusing because we do say Hala on Rosh Chodesh, but again, go back to what I said just moments earlier. We're talking about Gomer Sahala, the complete Hala, and we do not complete the Hala on Rosh Chodesh. So why don't we complete on Rosh Chodesh? Isn't it a Moed? So now, that in of itself is interesting. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Lo Iktish Be'asiyas Malacha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there is no prohibition of doing Malacha Dechsiv. Hashir Yalechem Kalil Hitkadash Chag. Laila ha mekudash lechag taun shira. If it is mekudash, if it's a sanctified day in which we're not allowed to do malacha, that requires shira. Halal and shira in this case are interchangeable terms. V'she'ein mekadesh lechag ein taun shira. And something that is not mekudash is not require shira. And so a couple of interesting points over here. Rosh Chodesh number one was described as a moed. Where in the Torah is Rosh Chodesh described as a moed? That is a really good question. One, that's not going to have an answer. But the Gemara just called it a moed. So clearly it's a moed. Take a look at...
It depends on Rosh Chodesh when the moed is called.
That's a good point. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Tanis. Rashi says, Dichsiv kara lai moed. So it is really it's a circuitous route that gets us to the idea that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. We start with the Pasuk in Esa, in Echa, where the Pasuk in Echa is Kara Lai Moed, and in the Gemara in Tanis, so the Gemara understands that that Pasuk in Echa, which says, pronounced it a Moed, the it over there is referring to Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. How do we get from that Pasuk in Echa to that describing Rosh Chodesh Tammuz? So see the Gemara in Tanis for more discussion on that. But in the meantime, it is veiled reference to Rosh Chodesh being called a Moed. It is. The other interesting point is that the Gemara says very candidly that there's no Isser Malach on Rosh Chodesh. There is a Rashi that describes how in Rosh Chodesh there's a Minug, that women do not do Malach on Rosh Chodesh, often talked about Rashi, but that is a Minug. There's no Isser Malach as it relates to Rosh Chodesh. Okay. So far, what do we have? In order for the requirements in order to say halal are, it has to be chalukim bekarbonoseihem, a different pattern of karbonos that are brought. It has to be called a moed, and there has to be an isser malacha. Those are your requirements in which halal are going to be stated. And that really explains almost everything. Why on Sukkot do we say halal on every single day? Because you have all three. And, different karbonos. Right, chalukim bekarbonoseihem. Right, noted. On Pesach, you only say it on day one, but because from day two through day seven, it is the same series of karbanos, so therefore do not say it. Okay, now, we haven't covered everything yet, right? Rosh Chodesh, we don't say it, because Rosh Chodesh, even though it's a moed, and even though it's chalukim bekarbonoseihem, there's no isra malacha. Okay, so we almost have everything covered, but there are still times of the year which need our attention. The Gemara is going to give it attention. So Rosh Hashanah, we are continuing right where we left off in the Gemara. It's about seven lines down from the top. Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim de'ikrei moed v'ikdash basiyah malacha. Lema. So the Gemara says, okay, what about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? It should qualify. It has a different pattern of karbanos. There is an isra malacha, and it is described as a, and they are described as a moed. Okay, so we have now, we should be saying halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And needless to say, we don't, and why don't we? So it's because of this Gemara we're learning right now. Mishum de Rabbi Abba Udama, Rabbi Abba Amram, Malach Yeshaos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shalom, Ibnei Ma Ing Yisrael Omrim, Shiru Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. So the Malachim themselves are wondering, you know, we should be saying Halal on this day, we should be doing Shira on the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Meaning they qualify. So why don't they? So Amram Lahen Efshar Malach Yoshev HaKisei Adem V'Sifri Chaim V'Sifri Mesim. Pesuchim Lefanah V'Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanai. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu's answer is that thematically does not fit with the day. These are the days in which we're being judged. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim are opened up right in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just simply not appropriate days for Shira to be said. Shira has a certain element of Simcha to it, and even though Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Yomim Tovim, right? It's Yontiv, but nevertheless, also there's an element of Ema and Pachet on these days, and so therefore it's just simply not appropriate to say Halo. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's hit Chanukah. So Chanukah is a mystery, because we just learned together that there needs to be three things occurring in order for Halal to be said. There has to be a different series of Karbanos, there are no Karbanos in Chanukah. It's a Yont of Midrabanan, so there are no Karbanos. There has to be Isser Malacha, there is no Isser Malacha in Chanukah. And there has to be called the Moed. The Torah does not call Chanukah Moed, Chanukah did not exist at the writing of the Torah. Mm-hmm. So Chanukah is 0-3, and meanwhile, Chanukah we say Halal. Furthermore, even when, as the Rambam introduces us to the halachas of Halal, he introduces them via Chanukah. Meaning Chanukah seems to be like the prime days in which to be saying Halal, and why? So the Gemara says, Mishum Nisa. So the Gemara says, we say Halal on Chanukah for a totally different track. Mm-hmm. Meaning there are now two tracks in which one is going to be saying Halal. One is of the track of Moed Isser Malacha Chalukim Bekarbonoseihem. That's track number one. Track number two, if a clear and obvious nace occurs to the Jewish people, like Chanukah, so therefore you're going to be saying Halal. Okay, that's our first Yontav Derabbanan of the year, in which you're going to say Halal. With this track now in mind, so it's going to bring us now to the obvious question, which is that there's another day in the year where the Chachamim instituted as a Yontif, as a result of a miracle, where the Jews survived only because of a miraculous event. And so, and we don't say challah on that day. And why don't we say challah on that day? That's the upcoming Gemara's question. Purim de'ika nisa lema. So why don't we say challah on Purim? So the Gemara is going to give three different answers. Answer number one, yes, it's a miracle, but it's a miracle that occurred outside of Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore we're not going to be saying challah on such a day. Now, mind you, by the way, we're still going to be thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendously, tremendous HaKadosh Tov, but it's just not going to engender challah. Maskev l'Rav Nachman Yitzchak v'Ari Yitzias Mitzrayim de Neis Shebechus HaAretz Hu v'Amin en Halal. Okay, but what about Yitzias Mitzrayim? So that's a miracle that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we did leave Egypt, and meanwhile we do say halal. So the Gemara says that's true, but kedetanya ashal nichnasu Yisrael la'aretz hukshur kol aretz l'slom ashira. You're right. Before we entered into Eretz Yisrael as a nation, so then Shira was open for all lands. However, mishnichnasu la'aretz l'hukshur kol aretz l'slom ashira. But once we go into Eretz Yisrael, so now Eretz Yisrael, and only Eretz Yisrael to the exclusion of all other lands, are going to be open for Shira. Okay. Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasazu Halila. A second answer to the question. Why don't we say Halal on Purim? It's a Nes. So answer number one is that it's a miracle that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael. Answer number two, we do say Halal. It's called Megillas Esther. Kriyasazu Halila. The reading of the Megillah is the Halal of Purim. There's a really interesting Meiri, which is quoted all the time, and makes up for many Shirim, and as the Meiri says that in the event that on Purim you don't have a Megillah, so you'll say Halal, based on the Gemara's answer over here.
Can I say Sirchot on Purim?
No.
Tanit Esther?
Tanit Esther, yeah.
Yeah, because the Sirchot that we say on Tanit Esther has a lot of Halal in it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so Kriyasa Zu Halila, the reading of the Megillah is the Halal. Okay, whether this Meiri's position is accepted, whether the Gemara is basically saying that Halal is a substitute for Megillah is a substitute for Halal, and how to view that substitution, how to understand that substitution, much discussed. We're just right. I'm not gonna go through any more now. Rava Amar Bishlama Hasam, and the Gemara now is going to be giving a third answer to the question. Why is it that we don't say Halal on Purim? Rav Amar Bishlam Hasam Halu Abde Hashem Velo Abde Paro. So when you talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we're talking about full emancipation. We left Paro and we literally said goodbye to Paro. And he may have in fact even died. Debatable. So, but in other words, we were no longer Abde Paro. But Hacha Halu Abde Hashem Velo Abde Achashverosh Akati Abde Achashverosh Anan. However, when it comes to Purim, although we were saved and although it was miraculous, do you know where the story ends? Achashverosh is still the reigning king over the world and over the Jewish people. So it's not a full emancipation, and therefore we do not say halal. So those are three different answers of the Gemara in terms of why we don't say halal on Purim. It could be a location issue. The miracle takes place out of Eretz Yisrael. Could it be a substitution issue? We say the Megillah, which substitutes for the halal. Or it could be that the Yeshua, that the salvation that we experienced on Purim was not full, it was not complete, it was incomplete, because Akate Avde Da
Chashverosh. How about the fact that Purim was not an open miracle? I mean, it was hidden.
Right. Gemara doesn't. It's a great point. Gemara doesn't mention it. Ula Reb Nachman Damer Kriyasa Zu Alila Hatanya Mishenichnus Arts La Huchshu Kol Arats L'Slam Ashira. The Gemara is bothered by the following. Rav Nachman's an Amora. So, obviously, he's espousing an opinion. He's entitled to an opinion. But the Gemara wonders, but the first opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak is supported by a Braisa. Rav Nachman's just going to ignore the Braisa? Meaning, geography does matter. Only miracles that take place in Eretz Yisrael require Shira. Outside do not require Shira. And what's Rav Nachman going to say regarding that Braisa? The Gemara says what Rav Nachman will defend himself is saying the following. Kevan shegalu chazur leheteran harishon. So the Gemara says that when the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael and an autonomous nation in Eretz Yisrael, so then you're right. Shira can only be said over events that occur in Eretz Yisrael. But once the Bais Rishon was destroyed and once we were sent into the diaspora, so now open season in terms of Shira. Meaning now Shira is no longer limited to Eretz Yisrael. It goes back to what it once was, where Shira could be said anywhere in the world, over any event in the world. We're in Yud Amud Beis. We have concluded the Gemara's discussion regarding Hallel and the 18/21 days in which Hallel said, we're Gomer Sahallel. I encourage you to take a look at the bottom Tosfos on Yud Amud Aleph, where he discusses the Minhagim of saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh on the remaining days of Pesach, with a bracha, without a bracha. Right? A lot of interesting stuff. We are going to go on because I'm going to, God willing, complete the daf. Lo yamaka ba'aviv shel nechoshes. We wouldn't be blowing on copper. Pasach b'chala u'misayim ba'avuv. We're a little bit confused over the name of a flute. The Mishnah referred to it as a chalil, and then the Mishnah also described it as an avuv. Which one is it? Am Rapapa hainu chalil hainu avuv. Rapapa says it's synonymous terms. V'amai karele chalil de chali kale. Now it's called chalil chalil from the Aramaic word chali, which means matok, it's sweet. Because it's got the flute produces a really sweet sound. Tan rabbanan avuv haya b'mikdash. The Bryce over here is describing now our flute in the Beis HaMikdash. Chalak haya was very smooth. Dak haya, it was very thin. Shalkana haya was made up of reed. Umiyamos Moshe haya, it goes back, manufactured all the way back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tziva ha-melech v'tzipo zahav, the king wanted to gild it in gold. V'lo hayakolo arev. Now again, it gets to that aesthetic issue. I mentioned that in the Mishnah, that a reed is not aesthetically pleasing. It sounds beautiful, but it doesn't look good. So the king, the Gemara here does not mention which king, but the king wanted to plate it in gold. V'laya kolo arev, but it diminished from the sound quality. Nalu tzipoya v'laya kolo arev kamo shahaya. Once the gold plating was removed, it went back to produce its sweet sound. Tzilzul haya b'mikdash, there were symbols in the mikdash. Shonachoshet haya was made up of bronze. V'laya kolo arev, also produced a wonderful sound, a sweet sound. V'nifgam v'shachu chamem v'heviu umnen me'alachzanju shal Mitzrayim v'tignuhu. Needed a repair, service repair over here, we really had to outsource. We had to call the experts from Egypt in order to repair the symbols. However, after they repaired it, so v'lahayo kolo arev. So even as we got some of the best technicians of the world, did not produce the same kind of sweet sound. Natlu tikunav v'lahayo kolo arev kamo shahaya. And they must have added some sort of layer to the symbols. We removed the layering that the Egyptians added, and it went back to producing a sweet sound. So there was a grinder in the Beis HaMikdash. The grinder did two things. It ground, because that's what grinders do, but it also produced a sound. And it was made up of copper, and the sound that it produced, it was a really nice sound. Moshe Isa, and it was already going back to the time of Moshe Isa, Mifatemis Esa Besamim. It's what we would use in order to grind the spices. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Croesus, the grinding of the spices was done with sound. And in ways I cannot explain, sound produced better spices and better ground spices. So, Nitpagma Ve'evi Umnim Alachzanja Shom Mitzrayim. Again, it came to disrepair, and we had to call the repairman, and again, a long service contract between us and the Egyptians. And once again, after they repaired it, it wasn't grinding as well. It wasn't producing the sound as well. And again, we removed whatever they added on, and it went back to grinding in the way it did of days of old. These two kelim that we just described, the grinder and the cymbal, they made it from Bais Rishon to Bais Sheni. Nispagmu v'lo haya lahem arucha. And what happened is eventually they came to disrepair, and they were simply irreplaceable. V'aleim amar David nechoshes mumurat. David, in describing them, so he said regarding the grinder and the cymbal, they said that it was nechoshes mumurat, it was made up of a very thin copper. Nechoshes mumurat was very bright. V'aleim amar klei nechoshes mutsav. Shnaim chamudot. Now here the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim describing them as shnaim chamudot. Now chamud means something which is beloved. Now, but the word shnaim in this context, what exactly does that mean? Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara brings in two opinions on this matter. Chanamar kolecha ve'echad shakul kishnaim shel zahav. One opinion is that each one was weighted at the weight of one gold coin. Ve'chanamar shnaim shakulim ke'echad shel zahav. And the other way to understand is that the two of them are equivalent to one gold coin. Tini Rav Yosef, Shnaim Shkulim Ke'echad Shal Zahav. Rav Yosef teaches in a Braisa that they are both weighted at the weight of one gold coin. Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Shniim Hayu. A third possibility of what the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim means, and that is, for every instrument you had also a second instrument. Back up. Shenemar Shnayim, Al Tikri Shnayim, Ela Shniim. Rather, it was double. Tani Rishim Gamliel Shiluach Hayam Mikaleach Mayim Bechiiser. There was some sort of Shiluach, a stream that went through the Beis HaMikdash. It was very narrow. It was really the size of a coin, an extraordinarily narrow stream. Tziva HaMelech V'Hirchivu Kedei Shetirabu Meimav. And so the king instructed, again, no identification of who the king is, but he wanted the stream to be widened so there'd be more water running through the stream. Apparently, its sourcing was underground water. V'Nisma'atu. And despite our efforts, our best efforts of widening the stream to produce more water, just the opposite. The wider we made the string, the less amount of water resulted. V'chazru umi atuhu ve'amekalech mayim. And what we did is we brought it back to its narrow state, and the water current was as it was once upon a time, just as strong. L'kayim ha'shenemar al yitalal chacham v'chachmaso v'al yisalal gibor b'gvuraso v'gvuraso. And it reminds us of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which says, "Don't try to outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu." You think we know how to manipulate and maneuver, and not so fast. The hardulim was not in the Beis HaMikdash. A type of instrument. What kind of instrument are we talking about? My hardulim, Amar Rabbi, a tavla gurgadna, some sort of bell. Although it produces a nice sound, but what it also does is it does not blend well with the other instruments. And so therefore, the bell was kept out of the choir and the orchestra in the Beis HaMikdash.
This point about Jeremiah that says he cannot replicate Kadosh Baruch Hu's work. If you look at human body, the medicine has never been able to replicate any organ artificially that's near the perfection of any organ.
Right, of God's creation. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up at the bottom of the Amud.